Welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Rev. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in, and we are excited to have you today. Again, on another broadcast, we kind of started a few minutes late today. We had to finish up Trace Embry's show where we're, for some reason, the system was running a little bit slower, and then I found out we had a crisis to get today. Not really a big crisis, but, you know, don't ever press delete when you're building a web page. I think I deleted almost everybody on the show. On the homepage show banners, which I was trying to delete the subscribe menu for the subscription to the newsletters, and we're no longer using that service. And when I did that, I ended up deleting the, for somehow, it ended up deleting all the banners on the homepage below the after the fifth one, and we have like 30 banners on the homepage. So they're still on the live events page, so they're not missing anything. But if there's a reason they're on the front page so people can see them and we can do things. And I was trying to get that done really quick for you. But, oh well. I have to take my time because everything has to be worded the right way. Really trying to get our web pages up to par. I've got a good friend that is part of the Internet Society. The Internet Society. It sounds like a cult. But there is, it's true. It's the Internet Society. And he's part of that. And he mentioned to me that I needed to update a lot of the things on my site. Broken links. In other words, links that aren't working. Whenever you have the words www.revmedianetwork.com or revministries.com on a website, that kind of counts against you too. They rather see Revelation Ministries or Missions Ministry and then have that linked to Rev Media Network. So a few things like that, making sure your pictures on your website itself have a, whatchamacallit, a descriptions. So when you hover your mouse over it, it'll tell you David Yanez bio picture or David Yanez in India crusade, stuff like that. Simple things like that because they are starting to crack down on the internet, my friends. They are starting to crack down on it. And we're going to see what happens. We are. We're going to see what happens. They are shutting down the presence of some websites altogether. So, in other words, all the search engines, which actually Google's starting this, and they're starting to do that. So they're trying to knock down everything that does not fit into the category of not having enough information or too much information or really too much redundant information. And they're going to shut it down. And some sites have already been shut down and their presence have been gone. I have been blessed not to have any of mine shut down yet. So I am working on getting that done. Shouldn't that be like our description? Working on working. I am working on working of getting things done for this. So believe God, trust God, and he's going to do some amazing things. And I just see my pastor, David Hope, come by and wave at me and good to hear. Good to see him all the time. He's a good man. He loves God. And I'm going to talk to him in just a few minutes when the show's over. But I'm telling you, today's topic is courage. It takes courage to do God's work. And we're going to jump into that in just a minute. Let me give you my P.O. Box. It's P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. I had something come in the mail today or yesterday that really encouraged me. It's something that you hear and I hear all the time. But when someone notices it in you and someone sees it in you, it's always good just to hear it again. Praise God. It is always good to hear what God has to do. Praise God. Well, I do have a good friend that supports us monthly, and they sent us their monthly contribution. But beyond that, they sent me a little note with it. And sometimes you need something just to get you excited about God, something to get you excited about God. Now, don't you want to be encouraged on your daily walk? I pray that I'm encouraging you on your daily walk. Now, this note says, David, we are so grateful for what you do. I will show you great and mighty things. Of course, they quote Jeremiah 33:3, and we're going to read that in a minute. God has much to show you and do through you. Now that is a confirmation, almost a year to the date. Now get this, this is why it encouraged me. Almost a year to the date that Miss Marilyn Hickey herself, Sister Marilyn was on the show, Reverend Marilyn, Dr. Marilyn, she was on the show with us, and she shared with me this same passage, Jeremiah 33:3. And I tell you, we're going to read it right now. Let me find it in my trusted Bible. And I was looking for my Bible for the station. I had it over there in the TV studio, which I really don't need in the TV studio because we're able to use the monitors and stuff so I can read the scriptures off of that. But I always need a Bible during the show here because I'm always getting inspired and I'm always having to find. Now, this isn't my typical Bible. In fact, I think I found this around the church somewhere. But I like it because it's a giant print. Praise God. And I noticed something that Charles Barkley on TNT NBA basketball on Thursday nights. He's one of the nights that they're doing the playoffs last year. He was saying, as you get older, you learn to respect the giant print in the books. And I don't know if it's just because I'm older or because I'm blind, but I do respect the giant print. And Jeremiah 33:3 reads, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Now, we're going to have Miss Marilyn Hickey's interview play for you. I think it was 30-minute interview that we did with her. It's going to play in a little bit, and we're going to be excited. It's going to be a second part to this show. And we were excited to have her the time that we did. And we know that God has blessed us because she's been on the show. But this was something that was sent to me, literally the same thing that Marilyn shared with me. My good friends Cliff and Judy McKern sent this to me. And it encouraged me. So I want to encourage you and tell you the same thing. And read the scripture to you. Call unto me. I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God has great things that he's doing in your life. Now, this is going to go on my board. I have a board here. That's why I keep telling you, email me or write me. I have a board that we put on the wall, and we put this up there, and we pray for those people on this board. Whether it's just a note to say encouragement, well, we're going to pray for you. We're praying for you anyway, but this is something for you to be active and for you to be part of our broadcast. And by sending in a letter or an email. And we're excited to do this. Now, those that are new to Remember to Watch with the Rev, well, it's been on for about maybe 7 years now. It's been on Rev Media Network for the last 4 years now. And we have expanded ourselves from a 15-minute to a 30-minute to an hour show. I thought about it and kind of still thinking about doing a two-hour show, but I thought that was just too much work for everything that I do. We're just trying to launch the Midwatch TV show, and that's going to be launched, prayingly, that's going to be launched in the next 2 weeks. We're working out some bugs. We did a couple of dry runs, see how it worked, and it seemed to work well. There's some audio sync issues that we're doing when we're working with the manufacturer, the developers of the software, and we're just trying to get things together. So once we do that, we're going to have the show running on a regular schedule, and you'll be able to see that at RevMediaTV.com, and at MidwatchWithTheRev.com, you'll be able to see that, and also on Rev Media Network. We're going to figure out a way to put the videos and make it more useful. You can also visit Truly.net, and we're really promoting them because they're promoting us, and they're helping us get to where we need to be as far as broadcasting to the masses through the internet. They're really good at encouraging others, and I have a contract with them that we're going to be on there for free. Praise God. But also other ministries can. And you can contact them, truly.net, and see about signing up with them. But other than that, my friends, we are excited about the things that God is doing. God is doing some amazing things. I'm just trying to put together the year right now. I have been very hesitant in putting together the NRB because of the changes and stuff. I'm making sure I get my credentials before I even book my air flight to go out there in my hotel. They've changed a lot of things, and it's okay. I mean, each industry grows in different ways, and it seems like it's getting harder to get my media badge and stuff to get into places like that, but that's fine. We're going to keep moving forward, and we're going to do interviews, and I will be down there and see what God does. Now, I probably will join the NRB in the next few years, but for now, I'm just going in as press and coverage, covering the spots and stuff. But other than that, my friends, we are planning out different things, been praying, really seeking God on several things. And I was encouraged again today reading that book, God's Generals, by Robert Lierden. Liardin. I have to ask my pastor how to say it right. He says it right all the time. I always say it wrong. But it's God's generals, the revivalists. And I was reading about the William and Catherine Booth. Now, those are people that created the Salvation Army. And they were going through thick and thin, not having anything, trying to put things together. This was the start of a ministry that would run for years and that is still running today. They were the founders and creators of it. But one thing he put on the paper for people to read was the testimony that everything he did was through prayer, through constant focus, constant praying, constant worship in the Lord, constantly praying. He said it wasn't uncommon for 8 hours of prayer, that God wants you to pray with all your mouth, that slumbering and laying around and just thinking about things was okay, but you had to pray. You had to get in there and bring encouragement to yourself by praying. Now, I agree with that. I agree with it. There's plenty of times that I have sat down and meditated and pondered and even slumbered in the Lord. Now, for those that don't know what slumbering is basically that little meditation where you're almost not in, I'm not going to say you're in a trance, praise God, but you're in a state where you're just resting. And you may fall asleep. Now, you start snoring while you're sleeping. But if you just slumber, God has spoken to me in several types of slumber. Whether when I'm waking up, or whether I'm about to go into slumber, God has spoken in my dreams as well. Confirmed them the next day with something that he said that would happen in the dream. And it happened that very next day. Now, I tell you, there's different types of slumbering. There's different types of ways to pray to God. But one of the ways that I find that's most effective is just praying. It's just getting up, walking around. Now, for me, I walk and pace. I pray to God. I read scriptures. I quote scriptures. I bring them before God, and not begging, not screaming, but believing and agreeing with the Most High. There's a big thing to do. You see, because you got to get yourself charged up. You do. You know, recently I've been having some issues with my battery on my truck. Well, it hasn't been operating as like I wanted to operate. So one day, there was a lot of charge in that battery, but it didn't have enough to charge my truck. So what I had to do one morning was I had to go over there and get the cables out and dropped off. I had to use my wife's vehicle to drop off my son, come back, and put the cables on the cars. By the time I put the cables on the car, turned on the van for my truck to recharge, I walked around the corner. I'm like, you know what? That battery is still a good battery. It just needed a little bit of a charge, a little bit of a hit. So I went over there and I turned the key, and normally you're supposed to give it like maybe 4 or 5 minutes and get going, but I just turned the key and that truck just started up like it was no problem at all. I left the batteries together for a little bit and just went inside and told my wife, hey, I got the truck charged already, but I'm going to let the batteries run because sometimes it needs to be charged up. Called my friend who knows about vehicles, and he asked me to make sure that the terminals were clean and that the charger, the alternator, would keep charging it. As long as it was turned on, the alternator is charging it. But when it's turned off, it's not being charged. So you have to make sure you got a good charge. And by doing that, you have to make sure you have a good terminal. So not to tell you I'm a mechanic, but I do know a few things. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to do that. I'm going to go over there and check this out. And I took it by him. He met me at the church because we were doing a radio show. And he looked at it and said, hey, you're fine. It's just your battery's going bad. And he looked at it. And he goes, David, is this the original battery that was with the truck? And I'm like, yes. Yes, it is. And he looked at this battery, and he's like, this thing is so old. It was from the year that you bought it, and it's supposed to last 4 or 5 years. It's last 6 or 7 years. And he just stays quiet. And he goes, David, that is impressive. You know, no matter how strong our batteries are, my friends, no matter how good, we need a good recharge. We need a good encouragement. We need a good spark to get us going. And just like that battery in my truck, it was faithful. It'll work. But sometimes, and some days, I don't know, that when I turned the key, it barely started that day. But it was a good battery still because I put a charge to it. Within minutes, the thing was ready, arriving, and ready to go. You see, our lives are like that. Our lives are like that. We tend to go over there and do so much. How do you notice that nowadays? Man, I can remember back when I was a kid in the 80s. I grew up in the 80s. 70s, I was a kid. 80s, I was in junior high and high school. Late 80s, I graduated. And I tell you what, I seen our family's lives change. as you get older, yeah, you do get busier, but there's so much more to do just for the average family. It's amazing how tired we get. Remember we had Marty Matusky on the show. Hold on, I'm hammering his name. I'm not going to hammer his name for long. I'm going to get you the correct spelling on his name, the correct pronunciation. I have my books here, and I'm moving things around, and we're seeing things happen. So give me a second as I dig through my files. He was one of the first one. Let's see, Victoria Griffith. Nope. She was on. Marty. Nope. George. Marty, where you at? I got Marty right here. Marty Machowski. There you go. Remember, he wrote the book, Gospel Story for Kids, on his website. But he wrote the book, Old Story New. And it talked about having a little bit of devotion time with your families. And how a lot of people aren't getting that devotion time. A lot of people aren't getting what they need in devotion with their family. And I'm going to tell you the truth. I told him I was going to go home with this book and I was going to start working with my kids. It's been sitting on my dining room table. My breakfast bar. It's been sitting on the breakfast bar for the last single 2 weeks. Can you believe that? A lot of times we try and get to get the time to do something, but we never do it. And this is the way the show's going today. I was going to talk about courage, and God just wanted to encourage you with that. We did have a late start, but I know that God has a plan to make things happen for you and in your life. Now, although there's so many things out there that try and stop us, there's so many things out there that continue to stop us, but you know what? It's not going to stay. We're not going to stay stopped. Does that even make sense? And we're not going to stay hindered. It's not going to hold us back because you get encouraged. You get encouraged and God will do something for you. You got to believe that God is going to make some amazing things happen in your life. You have to believe that. There's no one else on this earth that can believe what God's going to do for you, except for you. You are the ultimate developer of the dreams that God has for you. God can give you every single thing. He's provided everything. But unless you believe, unless you get encouraged to believe, things aren't going to happen for you, friends. Things aren't going to happen for you. Now, I'm looking for our next broadcast commercial, which I do not see it. I thought I downloaded it, but apparently I hadn't downloaded it. So you're going to have to wait for your commercial. We're going to have to keep talking. Remember, God is so important in your life that you just have to believe. And it takes work. It takes work every day to sit there and believe for God to do stuff. At the end of the year, I get encouraged. I get so encouraged at the end of the year. Why? Because I see everything. We're actually the beginning of the new year because I have to close out the ministry. I have to balance everything, expenses and cost and what we brought in to what we had. And even looking at what we had on paper, it shows we only got X amount of dollars. And then we looked at X amount of people that actually gave. And it's amazing how much God brought in with X amount of people that gave. And still did the work of God in a tremendous way, in a powerful way. It was unbelievable. And then I looked at the numbers, and the numbers show that we spent more than we came in. And how many people can say that? Yeah, we have. But there were so much other gifts that were not even recorded that people just took care of things for us that we didn't send a contribution letter for that just took care of things. Only God can do something like that. Only God can encourage you. A lot of people look at it, and I don't know why, but when I look at it and people think, oh, man, well, That isn't that much that you brought in. But you look at what we did. You look at what God did. And I look at it this way. Look how much I did with just a little. Praise God. With just a little, with a drop of what I did in faith, by trusting Him and by believing in Him. Look at what could happen with just this much. Just this much. Look at it. But look what we did. Praise God. Look what God has done. Praise God. Look how much he reached and how many people. We never know what God has done through the radio and the television and through the books and through testimonies and interviews around this country that I've been on the shows and through broadcasting all over the world through the internet and by preaching revivals and healing services and crusades and pastors' conferences. Look what God did with the little that we brought to him because we were faithful to believe that he has called us to do the work of God. It takes courage, my friend, to stand up and to say, I believe that God has something for me to do. I believe it. And you got to believe it each day. You know how many days you look and it doesn't look like it's working, but you keep believing. I am proof, I am evidence that you can do amazing things with God's completely. You can do amazing thing with God if you just believe. If you just believe. If you just believe, you can do it. You know, I didn't have much, praise God, growing up. I didn't have much going through life, praise God. But I always had enough, and I always had sometimes more than enough. And I trusted God. God has been my resource from the beginning. God has been my resource from as far as I can remember. My good friends that came by the studio the other day, one of them asked me, the oldest one, they asked me, when did Jesus change my life? When did Jesus Christ make an impact in my life? I told him, I've always been with God. I don't know. There's no certain date, no certain time, no exact hour, but I believe in God. I believe in God. And I trusted him from my childhood. I didn't give him my entire story. I just told him that these are the ages that I started to do more for God when I was 12 and 16 and then 19 being in the military. And then from then on, I can remember that far. But I remember as a child hearing God. I remember as a child talking to God. I remember as a child reading the word with God, believing the word of God at 5, 6, 7 years old, as far as I can remember. And I tell you this, that God has always been faithful. And he has always given me ideas, given me thoughts. But you know, when you get thoughts, when you get ideas, when you get things that you want to do, you got to have courage to put these things into reality. You got to have courage to take criticism, courage to be disappointed, courage to fail in man's eyes, courage to not get what you need, courage to struggle when you have to build it. There's a courage that we have to have, a courage that we have to attain, a courage that we have to say, only God can do this, only God can do this, only God can do this. And you got to believe. There's no other way but believing on God to do the work that you're supposed to do. And you have to have courage. A lot of people say, brother, you just got to have faith, and you have faith, you trust God, and praise God, you're doing the work of God. No, that's not all. Of course, that is a very important part. But a lot of the time, the things fail is because a person's emotions, a person's short-sightedness, a person's disappointments keep them from doing bigger things because they failed. I held a relationship service in New York back in 2004, and I've never held another one again. And the reason why, because it failed miserably. I spent several thousands of dollars, a couple thousand of dollars, flight and hotel and everything. And I learned the simple truth. If you want people, if you think you're all this in a bag of chips, as my pastor says, if you think you're everything and more, that people are just going to flock to you because of your name and because you're popular to certain things, then you got another thing coming to you. Put your name on a billboard. Put your name on a melon, on a newspaper. Put your name on the internet. Put your name on radio broadcast, TV broadcast, and see how many people will show up. See how many people will show up. I had through two. And then I had three the next night. Praise God. I was in my hotel room. I was worrying how I was going to take care of the bills. And God miraculously provided, but I was worrying how God would take care of the bills when nobody shows up and I rented a conference area. You see, God is able, my friends, to take your disappointments and turn them around. Am I going to be successful in that arena one day? Yes, I will. But is it time? No, it's not. Right now, I have a full slate, and God has opened up some extra things this year that's going to be amazing. But I am encouraged. It took a lot to have courage, because that right there could have killed me and killed my dreams and killed my ideas if I let it. And now it kept me a little quiet on the sideline. I tell you, after that, I didn't do much preaching to anywhere on anything besides just relationships. I just was not ready. It just, to me, was not what would I want to do, and I was disappointed. And I was disappointed also in people, because I had to put this thing together, and friends of mine, good friends, and people that had resources could not help. And it was disappointing to me on that part as well. So I was disappointed, and I had to seek God out. And God gave me some time to seek it out. Praise God that God knows how you're going to react. And during that time, I decided it was time for me to get back doing things. It was time for me to start moving things. And God used the radio to bring me back in. He used the radio to bring me back in, slowly back into preaching more, slowly into being a guest preacher. He used a TV, and then all of it started just flowing, and today I am the product of what God has desired for me to do. And there's more. Just as my friend's letter that they wrote me, we are so grateful for what you do. I will show you great and mighty things. God has much to show you, David, and do through you. Praise God. Praise God. You see, it's about believing when you mess up, or when you can't get, when it doesn't go the way you want, and just trusting God to do amazing things. It is what God does. He does that. He does amazing, amazing things. We'll be right back. Here's another beautiful broadcast from a good friend of mine. And we're going to hear Miss Terry Squires on One Impact Radio. God bless. We'll be right back.
One Impact Live. There is one God. You are one person. You have one impact. Join us today to change the world. This is your life. What are you going to do with it?
Do you ever feel that your life isn't what God has called you to do? Do you ever wonder why He hasn't placed you in a higher position or calling? Welcome to One Impact Live. I'm Terry Squires, your host for today, and you've just tuned in to the 5-minute program that will impact your life and the lives of others. When I was a young mom, I often questioned if I was doing all that I could do to reach out to others for Jesus. My everyday life of taking care of the home, my kids, my husband, the busy schedule, zapped all my energy. It just seemed ordinary. And I often wondered what it would be to be like in full-time ministry. But then I was reminded that He knows every day of my life before one of them ever came to be. In Psalm 139:16, it states, "Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." My life and your life is far from ordinary, no matter where you are in life, a stay-at-home mom, a retired grandparent, a student, or working, building a business or a career. God knows all the days before one of them came to be, and He has a plan and a purpose for your life. It's the little things in life that changes the lives of others. Who around you needs a touch from Jesus? Who do you know in your life that is struggling? Who is lonely? Who needs a friend? Impact their life this week. It's not as hard as you may think. Invite them for a walk. Invite them for a pizza or coffee. Offer a listening ear. Give a compliment. Offer a helping hand. Give a smile. Do you know you have a full-time ministry right where God has placed you in your life? And everything you do and everyone in your circle is important to Him. Remember, it's the little things in life that changes the lives of others. I often think of the story about the little boy who gave his 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread to Jesus. It wasn't a lot of food, but he generously gave and wanted to help. Wouldn't you have loved to see his little face when Jesus took his offering and fed 5,000 people? The world tells us we aren't successful if our numbers aren't adding up. We all look at numbers. How many Facebook friends do you have? How many people attend your church? How many Twitter followers do you have? How much money do you have in the bank? Listen, God doesn't really care about our Facebook or Twitter accounts. He cares about you and has called you to impact His world through your life, one life at a time. He cares about your children and how you're going to lead them to Him. He cares about your coworkers and how you might share His message. He cares about your neighbors and how you will reach out to them by your actions. When you give generously and share Jesus, like the little boy with two fish and five loaves of bread, your numbers will increase. God is going to use you in mighty ways. Listen to me. You do have a full-time ministry, and by your life, you are reaching thousands and millions for His glory. Won't you join me today and impact His world through your life? And if you have any questions or comments for me, I'd love to hear from you. Shoot me an email at terrysquires.com. And until next time, remember your one impact reaches the world.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and you're listening to MidWatch with the Rev. And I am trying to find that interview that I had with Miss Marilyn Hickey. But I don't have it. Maybe I can find it online and see what God does with that. But we're talking about courage. And we're talking about believing God. He's going to do some amazing things for you. I hope that interview there, or that, I guess it was an interview, that show, that part of the show with Terry Squires helped you and everything. I just was downstairs during the commercial talking with a good friend that just happened to pop by the studio. And I was thinking, well, maybe I should call him up here so we can finish off the last 15 minutes of the show here and see what God does with us. Praise God. But let's turn our Bibles quickly to Joshua 6:2. Joshua 6:2. And we're just going to see what God has. And what God does with this. Praise God. Joshua 6:2. The scripture says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given to you thine hand, a Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor." And then he goes on to explain the city and how to get it and what to do. But the very important thing he said was see. In Joshua 6:2, see. In your spirit, you got to see it. In your spirit, you got to identify it. You got to believe in it. You got to trust in it. You got to be a part of it. And no matter what, you got to agree that you can do it. But I use Joshua for one reason, and that is this, my friends. Is if you look through chapter 5 and chapter 4 and chapter 3 and chapter 2 and chapter 1, you know, God instructed him about what he was going to do already. This is what he was telling him to do. But if you look through chapter 2, he looked at chapter 3, 4, 5, you will see he would start to prepare the people and start to get them ready. He would start to explain to them. Now, he didn't tell them exactly what they were going to do. He would get them ready and he didn't tell them the exact plan, but he would get them prepared and get them encouraged. And at this time, between the time of chapter 1 to the time of chapter 6, he's encouraging his own self by doing this. He's believing it. He's working the courage to do it. And at the time when he got everybody ready, he really developed the courage that he needed. He developed the courage that he had to have to do this. And when he did that, he was able to see what God has had for him. And he's seen it in his spirit. And when you see it in your spirit, my friends, you can hold it in your hands. A good pastor friend of mine used to say that all the time. And you've got to believe it and trust in it and work in it. See, God can do anything for anyone. And he can bless you. He can make almost anything happen for you. He can't make anything. He can make anything happen for you as long as you believe. So when you trust in God, you trust in those things, you believe in those things, and you're going to see God do amazing things for you. I hope you enjoyed that first part of the show, and that now that we're on this part of the subject, the courage part, we're going to kind of wind it down a little bit, kind of talk about it, and see what God has done with you and how God has done things for you. So when you think about courage and you think about impossibilities, I tell you, I looked at a lot of things in my life, and I didn't think I could get it done. honestly, I didn't think I can get it done. When I looked at the things that God wanted me to do, me, when there's so many other people, you ever get that feeling when you see all the things that are out there and you see all the people that are out there and you see that they're already doing things, that they're already being part of stuff, that they're bigger than you, literally, in finances and in abilities almost. You see how big they seem to be, and you're like, Lord, you know, how do I measure? How do I measure accordingly to these things? And you just trust God, and you just keep going, and you just keep trusting God, and you keep going, and you just keep trusting God. And you just keep going. That's the only thing you can do. No matter how many preachers are out there, God can use more preachers. No matter how many singers are out there, God can use more singers. No matter how many people are out there worshiping the Lord, God can always use more worshipers. So don't ever think that you're just another number in the group, that there's so many more. What can you do? I tell you, there's a point where you just got to trust God and believe God, and believe that He has started amazing things, that He will finish those things, that He will get the things done that need to be done in your life. And when you trust that, you're gonna be blessed. You're gonna be blessed. I'm gonna play a part of that interview. I think I finally found it, and just give me a second to cue it up for you. But it's the interview with me and Marilyn Hickey, and she's coming to the show in just 1 minute, and less than a minute. Let's see where we're at.
Great works for God for years and has done some marvelous things. I look up to her in a great way, especially as an evangelist, but just seeing her heart, we have Miss Marilyn Hickey. God bless you, Marilyn. Thank you for coming to the show.
Well, thank you, David. It's a great delight.
We have been just watching all the news out there, and I tell you what, this last trip that you made out there to Pakistan created quite a buzz in the media, in the Christian industry, but also just in the news around the world.
It has, and unexpectedly, I was in Karachi, Pakistan, which is a city of 20 million people, and if you read Time magazine, it said it's the most violent city in the world. But we had been setting this meeting up for 2 years. I felt I was to go. And actually, it was absolutely, and I've been to Pakistan 6 times, it was the most outstanding meeting we've ever had. The last night, we had 210,000 people.
Wow.
I know, I never preached to a crowd that big. Wow. On television, maybe, but not in person.
Wow. Did you do a massive prayer for everyone when you were there? Because I'm sure laying on hands with that type of crowd is pretty tiring.
Well, I do this in Hindu, Buddhist, Muslim, atheist countries. Basically, what I do is I teach on one miracle of Jesus. You know, I have an interpreter. Mm-hmm. They speak Urdu. And then I do words of knowledge for healing, like God wants to heal people with tumors or with ear problems, hearing problems, or eye problems. And I have them stand when I put that out, and then pray for them. You know, I send the word into them that heals them, delivers them from this destruction, and then I ask them to examine themselves. And if they can tell they have a miracle, to come to the front. So we have people on each side, you know, language, people that can speak, doctors, and they check them. And then we have them on the platform to testify. I have never had miracles like this in my ministry. I've heard about it in others. But we had a boy who could not see out of his left eye. He had no eye socket. And God gave him a new eye.
Amen.
And he could see. I mean, I've never had that.
Wow.
That began to appear.
Wow.
So, and miracles like that, and of course, you know, probably 80% of your people are Muslim. So after those testimonies, then I tell them the greatest miracle of all that happened in my life happened at 16. And it really happened with one prayer. And so I tell them about the sinner's prayer. And I ask them to stand, you know, if they have never prayed this prayer. So you can imagine, thousands and thousands stand, and I lead them in a sinner's prayer. Then I have a group from there, 2,800 people, and they have cards for them.
Wow.
And I say, now, if you fill out the card tomorrow night at the beginning of the service, I will pray for you and your family, because I had three nights of healing meetings.
Wow.
So they put the cards in. Well, then that's the follow-up card.
Mm.
So they get follow-up, but, you know, it's done in a way that doesn't just get them into trouble. They can come into a home. So they can come into a cell group. Where they get in trouble is if they go to a church. Well, we can do the gospel in the homes, too.
Absolutely. We're doing that across America right now. So.
Right, and all over the world, in Korea.
Amen. Amen. You know. Now, Pakistan is very similar to Indian culture, correct, as far as their beliefs and stuff?
Well, India is Hindu.
Yes.
Pakistan and Bangladesh are the Muslims.
And
part broke off.
Did you see any, I know you had security there. I've seen that on your website, that you had the parliament, the governments. You can't go into an area like that without that.
Well, not if you're going to do big things.
Yes.
But you have to have a lot of security. But this is so sweet. We had security outside our rooms 24 hours a day. And these were young men who could speak English. And so they were always asking me, would you pray for my family? Would you pray for this, pray for that? So last night, when the meeting was over and I came back to the hotel, they were all there, all of the security. And they said, would you lay hands on each of us? Remember, these are Muslim. And would you pray for us? It just was an unusual favor.
Amen, amen. So it took 2 years to get this together. And
yeah, and this is my sixth time.
Wow.
I've been going since 95.
Wow, all those seeds you planted, everything you... fruit in there and sowed seeds in there, and you're reaping that now. So that...
Exactly. Well, the first meeting in 95, I had 20,000.
Amen.
And then the next meeting, I had over 70. And then the next one, I had 100,000.
Wow.
So each meeting escalated.
And you see a great hunger there from everyone.
Oh, my. I can't understand it. I don't comprehend how a Muslim country has such faith in Jesus. But here's what I find. Healing is the dinner bell in Muslim, Buddhist, Hindu, because Jesus heals.
Absolutely.
And the Muslims believe, according to the Quran, that Jesus heals.
Amen.
So you have a bridge. I have found healing is a bridge every place.
Yes, that's true. I work in a healing ministry as well, and I found the same thing that, you know, you just bring them to the Lord. You just bring, let the Holy Spirit do the rest. Just bring them,
yes.
show them the miracles and the healings. And, you know, I get ridiculed here and there about that too. But every place I've gone, we've planted churches, wherever we've held healing services overseas.
That's so good.
And that's why I just tremendously respect you and see that you mean, I know how hard it is to travel as far as just the hours on the planes and stuff. And to see you still just doing all that, that's impressive. That's very impressive. I mean, you're obedient to the call of God. And you know,
well, he's a blessing. You know, he gives me the strength for it. It took 2 days to get into Karachi.
Wow.
Four flights.
Well, I go to India.
You know all that. Anyway.
I go to India much, and so it's like I know those flights. Oh, they can be long. But, yeah, that is complete favor.
Yeah.
That is complete favor. So you were on the Jumbotron in New York and in Las Vegas.
I know. And Times Square. And, you know, they said, you know, Marilyn Hickey praying for the sick in Karachi, Pakistan. Then Las Vegas, they put it, you know, at the convention center. So, you know, it's having a ripple effect. And this is what I say to people. You know, if you need healing, get on our website.
Amen.
You know? And also we have a way you can text prayer at 37284, and you can leave your prayer request. So I love to pray for the sick.
Amen. And
I know it's bread. Healing is the bread of the children.
Amen. And you know, Actually, Marilyn, I like to tell people this, and we've heard it many times. It's like they would say that that's only available overseas, the miracles and stuff that you see.
Oh, not true.
Not true. I preached this last couple of weeks ago in the Valley, Rio Grande Valley, and the same miracles that happened in India for me when I ministered were happening in those churches.
Sure.
And I preached on 100% miracle work and power, why Jesus had it. And it can happen. It just people got to believe. And that's a great thing that you offer prayer for people as well at the church. I think my pastor wants to say something.
Oh, hello, Marilyn.
Sure. Hello, hey, David.
Hey,
Dr.
One thing
Hope.
That I really appreciate about you and your really runs through your whole ministry is that you present the Lord the way that He really is, that He is a God that you don't have to run from, that He's a God that you run to, even when you messed up. And you know, I really appreciate that, because that when people come to know Jesus and they know Him as a good God, then it sets the right defenses against the things of the enemy to come and distort the truth.
Well, it says we are accepted in the Beloved in Ephesians 1:6. So if you know how much He loves you, follow the way He treats people. You know, the Gospels are beautiful. He loves us.
He does.
Amen.
Mistakes or not.
Amen. So this was your sixth trip out there.
Is there to Pakistan, yes.
And but you also go to all these other countries. I was looking on your website, and you do a lot of other work out there, too.
We're having a big healing meeting in Johannesburg and Cape Town.
Amen, amen. That was Mrs. Marilyn Hickey, and I actually found the soundbite from another interview that we had with her, and I'm going to play that for you right now. Closing words you have there, Miss Marilyn?
Dave, let me just give you a scripture.
Yes, ma'am.
For you.
Thank
you. Jeremiah 33:3. Call upon me, I will show you great and mighty things, and I will bring them to pass.
Amen. Amen.
He's enlarging your faith, enlarging the circle of your ministry. Call on Him.
Amen. I receive that. I receive that. I receive that very much, ma'am. Now, give us your websites one more time. Amen. That was Miss Marilyn Hickey, and that was what I was trying to get to you. And I thought it was in that first interview, but then I noticed it wasn't. So I said, okay, let me go ahead and get what I was trying to get to you to encourage you that He is enlarging my tent. He is enlarging in the tent. He is enlarging in my circle of ministry, enlarging in my faith, and we're believing in God for that. Amen. Amen. I want you to be encouraged, because that word is for you. He's enlarging. Now, that was close to what my friend sent me in the note, so I wanted to get it to you, and I hope you were blessed with that. Praise God. We'll catch you next time on The Midwatch. Remember, you can write me at Rev Media Network, P.O. Box 5, 172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. And the mail is going slow lately, so you might want to email me, david@revmedianetwork.com. God bless you. We'll see you next time on The Midwatch. We love you.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station, this show, or its hosts.